Now it's my joy to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect and precious Word to Psalm 108. Psalm 108. I know some of you, you're keeping in tune with the series that we're in, and you were expecting us to be in Isaiah 38 today. You were also expecting to hear from Pastor David today. Pastor David was expecting to be here today, but he's not feeling well. So pray for him as he is recovering and just not feeling well today. Our series has been just titled Thankful. Today I want to talk to you, thankful, steadfast is the key word. And we're coming to Psalm 108. When you find Psalm 108, I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's perfect word. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. That your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. God has promised in his holiness, with exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter. Moab is my washbasin, upon Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our foes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to do your work through your word in the hearts of your people. Fill us with your praise, with thanks, with faith, for your glory and your name, that you would be pleased and that you would be known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, there's the culinary creativity that many people have had. I don't know if you ever experienced two different flavors you would never anticipate being put together, and yet they are. There seems to be a confusion going on, and I don't mind stirring up a little controversy here, about bacon. Bacon is a breakfast meat. It doesn't go with chocolate. It doesn't go with donuts. There is no dessert bacon. No. All right. But then other things. Oh, I see some opposition. Other things, actually, I would never think to put together. And yet when I experience something, yes, that's actually really good. So down in Peru, we have a kind of an ongoing relationship with some churches there. But there's a Peruvian hot chocolate that they do there. This, you buy it, you melt it into milk and things. And it's very cinnamony, if that's a word. A lot of cinnamon and chocolate, and it's great. I had never experienced those two things combined. Maybe you have, if you've had the cayenne pepper and chocolate combination. Oh, that's very interesting. Of course, if you're a bacon and chocolate person, okay. But there's two things you might say, well, these don't seem to go together. When we come to Psalm 108, there seems to be a little bit of that tension, at least in the first reading. It's almost like when you're reading a book and two pages stick together, they're just perfectly together, and you flip the page and you think, what just happened? Like, that sentence doesn't make sense based off of what I just read. There seems to be something that has has been skipped or something like that. Well, you come to Psalm 108 and look at the beginning of it and you have this, "My heart is steadfast, O God, I'll sing and make melody with all of my being. Awake, O harp and lyre, I'll awake the dawn." Seems to be exuberance, an excitement. Well, God is great. I'm just going to praise Him. I'm thanking Him. I give thanks to You, O Lord, is what it says next. Be exalted. Then I'm further down in the psalm. "Have You not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe." Okay, so there's armies against them. There's this, God's not going with them. How does that fit with the beginning? "I'll awake the dawn. I'll give thanks to You. I'll make melody with all of my being." And yet they're put together in this same psalm for us. The first phrase that opens the psalm is, "My heart is steadfast, O God." And we find that word again just a few verses later, "For Your steadfast love is great above the heavens." We're going to be focusing in on verse 3 and 4, but of course the whole psalm is the context. Verse 3, let's begin with that. "I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to You among the nations." Notice the audience here is the Lord. He says, "I will give thanks to You, O God," to the one true God. And this is just a reminder that when we are praising or we're thanking, it is God who is the recipient of that praise, truly. Analogy is prayer. I don't know how prayers go in your home, but it's fun to teach kids to pray. For kids to be able... And by the way, there is... I've actually encountered some people who said, "Oh, I don't think we should teach children to pray if they're not yet at the point of conversion." That's crazy. To teach a it is a good thing. There's never a wrong time to take a child and teach them to thank God for what God is providing for them. Thank God for the food on the table. Thank You, God, that I have a bed. Thank You, God, that I have a family. To teach them to say things like, "God, would You help me when they have needs?" I recognize that prayers may be different. You wouldn't say necessarily to a little child who hasn't experienced a personal level of faith yet, "Thank You, God, for making me Your child," and for the prayer might be different. But we teach our kids to go to God with faith. But it's fun to hear kids learn to pray. And so I've heard the prayers like, "Why don't you pray before the meal today? God, thank You for the food. And would You help my sister to share her Lego set with me?" I'll say, okay, the audience is God. We're talking to God, right? But what's happening there is that the child is actually, "Well, I'm going to use this opportunity to make a statement to my sister," right? This is what's happening. It's not just kids who do that. We do this, pastors sometimes struggle with this, where you're praying at the end of the sermon, "Oh yeah, I forgot something. Let me slide it in." And really, like, now I'm speaking to the congregation. Oh no, we're talking to God. Some prayers can be funny, but God, we recognize that He knows that. Sometimes those prayers are good. But the whole point is that the audience, I give thanks to You, God. And prayers is just one aspect of things like that. There's also our whole life. Who are we living for? We live for God. Yes, we're around people. And yes, we are in relationship to all sorts of people. And yes, there's an avenue of witness. But it's all, first and foremost, to God. He's the one whose opinion truly matters. And praise is the same way. It's fitting for us to give thanks to God because, as the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, even when we have lots of other people along the way to thank. Anka and I, we had our first date one time. When we had our first date at a restaurant, of course we had a first date, and the server brought us delicious food. It was wonderful. At the end of the dinner, he said, "Hey, somebody has covered your meal." We still do not know who paid for our first date. Somebody in that restaurant, I'm assuming, knew us and liked the idea that we were having a date together and decided to cover it. But the whole point is, I could say thank you to the waiter, and that's true. Like, thank you for bringing us the food. There's somebody else that I wish I could thank, but I don't know who it is. And then behind that, there's God who provides. There's a chain of appreciation. We experience this in so many different ways. There's so many people that we can show appreciation to, but behind it all, every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. As it says in 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you did not receive? Or as Paul was talking to some non-believers in Acts, in Athens, he says, from him we receive life and breath and everything. So it's fitting that we would say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. There's lots of peoples that we can thank. But I will give thanks to you. He is the one who we go to recognizing that He is worthy of praise. So it's to Him, but of course it's among the peoples, among the many peoples. And that brings us to the second part of the verse. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Now, the word nations in the Psalms is used in two big ways that are quite different from each other, or at least there's two themes with the nations. Maybe it's not the use of the words, but two themes with the nation that we need to think about. One of those is the nations who are lined up against God. So you find in Psalm 2, for example, where it says, speaking of the Messiah, it says, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So there's the idea of the nations aligning up against the people of God. Think in the context of there's a war. There's war going on. In this Psalm 108, there's the foes. So you have that theme of nations. And then you also have, let the peoples praise you. Let the nations praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. This desire for God to have worshipers from among every tribe and tongue in the world. And these two themes actually are not really in contrast with each other. They go hand in hand. A verse we might think of in Isaiah says this. It says, speaking about the church, that there were thorns and briars, because he's picturing it as a garden. And it says, I would march against them in battle, or let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. Or back to Psalm 2, as I just read, you just get to the verse where it says, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And then it says this, now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled, Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. So there's this call to come to Jesus, even as you have this other theme. Now, all peoples everywhere, when it says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, all peoples everywhere are sustained by the goodness of God. The Bible's clear about that. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, there's been this big confusion because there was a healing. They're in a place called Iconium, and Lystra, and there's a healing of a man. It's very similar, almost like it parallels what we hear in Jerusalem earlier in the book, showing that God's doing a great work among the Gentiles. This man is healed, but the people are confused because they've only ever been taught, they're coming from the worldview of Greek mythology, and they really believe it. It's not just stories to them. And they're saying, oh, Zeus and Hermes are among us. They visited. And so they're coming to give a sacrifice. And in the middle, Paul and Barnabas realize what's going on. They go into the crowds. They tear their clothes in grief. And they're saying, no, what? Guys, we are men like you. And in the midst of that, they talk about the true and living God who made all that you see. He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. You hear that? Think about it. How good God has been to all people everywhere. This is encouraging for me, and I hope it is for you, when we encounter people who don't have any background at all with the Bible or with any kind of a Christian exposure. If you encounter somebody who maybe they were raised in a devout Muslim household, they've been taught the Quran and practices of Islam, they've been taught that God is creator or God is a judge, but it's not like that loving father, or they don't have the message of Jesus. Or if you encounter somebody who is from a Hindu background where there's 3 million gods or so, and it's just kind of a or total just atheistic background, zero. It's when you encounter somebody like this, remember, God may be new to them in the sense of an idea. God is not new to them in the sense of sustaining. Or better yet, they're not new to God. Their every breath they've been breathing, their entire life, the sustaining of their heartbeat, pumping blood throughout their body, the walking of the territory, the place that they live and have their being, their household, the ground they're walking on, is all from God. The rains that have been providing the food that they're eating, like, they're not new to God. He's been sustaining them. We get to share the good news of, hey, this is the God who has been doing all this for you. Let me tell you about Him. And so here you have God above all the nations. He's about to talk about God in those ways. He's been providing for all the peoples. There ought to be, from every mouth on this planet, thanks and praise to God. But there's not. But among the peoples, among the nations, I will give thanks to you, O God. I will give praise to you. This is not David boasting in himself saying, look, I've got it figured out. No, he's saying, everybody ought to, but I will. I'll give praise among the nations. This is a part of the witness that we have. Once again, we go back to like the analogy of the kids' prayers. We're not praising God as, you know, intending it to be a witness. Just like if I were to lead us in a prayer right now, I'm not really, truly, like ultimately trying to speak to you. I'm going to be trying to speak to God on behalf of us, and we're together in that. Well, when we praise God, we're not saying, hey, everybody, listen, we're praising God. But when the world who's watching, when people see people of God praising Him and thanking Him, it is part of the witness. And it's especially so, I think we could say, especially so when there's something in our life that seems to be mismatched with that. You've got this praise and thanksgiving, which we'll call chocolate. And then you have this... I should choose something that's not delicious. But we'll just say bacon. You've got bacon in your life, and yet there's chocolate. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have praise and thanksgiving in your life, and this is going on? That doesn't make sense. Every example that you can think of, that you would name, you tell me any biography that has inspired you, someone who has been an example of faith in your life, how did you see that faith? How did you know them to be a person of faith? I can guarantee it was because they were thanking and praising God despite something. That key word, steadfast, my heart is steadfast. Nothing is steadfast until you don't notice anything as steadfast until there's a force against it. Right? The benches in front of our church, I would not describe as steadfast. Because this hill is so windy sometimes. It's crazy. We've had, I miscalled them gutters, and my roofing brother-in-law corrected me, downspouts. We've had downspouts blow off the building. These wooden benches have been blown over and pushed across the concrete. It's amazing how fast the winds can be up here. But if there were no winds, let's say we replace those benches with some nice like a rock or anchored in, and then you can say, oh, they're steadfast. I know they're steadfast because the force that against them isn't moving it. I think of something in nature that's steadfast. Maybe you think of a sea urchin on a rock as a steadfast creature. You think of it as a steadfast creature because of the waves that crash against it. Last week, Pastor David challenged us from a text saying, we don't thank God for the difficulty. We don't thank God for sin or for trial. We don't say, thank you, God, for that crime. But we recognize that it's not outside of the hands of God and that God does good things throughout. That's why this last year we have had the hashtag, but God meant it for good. But God meant it for good. And one of the goods that God means it for is a display of your faith. As you thank Him and praise Him despite a trial or difficulty that you experience. And you put on display, that's part of the witness. Israel was to be a beacon among the nations of faith. And part of it is not just, okay, look, they're prospering, they're prospering, they're prospering. Part of it is the witness. These psalms that we get in difficult times. This psalm wouldn't be speaking to us the same way today, thousands of years later, if we didn't have the context of, have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. Oh, grant us help against the foe. Because there's a situation that's going on that demands a dependence upon God, and that dependence upon God is coming out in multiple ways. One of them is, grant us help. And another one of those ways is, I will thank you. A dependence upon God that's looking forward to the promises. And this psalm is full of promise. He says at the end, the last verse of the psalm is, with God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our foes. So he's clinging to promises of God despite the present situation. He's clinging with faith, but it's not just a faith that's saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. But it's also a faith that's alongside of that saying, God, I thank you. God, I praise you. So we praise the one true God among the many peoples. One verse that brings my mind to is found in 2 Corinthians. And it says this, we are the aroma of Christ. We're the aroma of Christ. That's beautiful. Like thinking that there would be a sense of Jesus in our life, and many of us would jump next to the people around us. That's not what the verse says. The verse does not say we are the aroma of Christ to the nations around us. The verse says we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are perishing, among those who are being saved. You hear that? There's that first of to God, but there's that among. To the one true God, among the many peoples, the basis because of His love and faithfulness. Verse 4. For your steadfast love, there's that word again, your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Actually, steadfast love together is one word. It's the word hesed, and it's this love that's a loyal love, a steadfast love. Once again, steadfast is a great translation of it because it means despite something. What are the despite somethings? Despite the circumstances we find ourselves in. The circumstances we find ourselves in does not change the love of God. The situations, the opposition does not change the love of God. Us, our failures, is the biggest sense, I think, of this despite. God's love despite the unfaithfulness of mankind, despite the failures, despite all of the times. If you just look at the storyline of Scripture, it's like, oh no, oh no, oh no, on the people side of things, and oh yes, there He is again. God's still coming through on God's side of things. His steadfast love. Your steadfast love is great above the heavens. This picture of above the heavens, it's really fascinating. Because this word, like this meaning of high, one of the names of God in Hebrew is El Elyon, the Most High God, the Most High. I deal with international students. I get to talk with people in different languages, and I don't speak in different languages, people who come from different languages. And not everything translates. Humor often does not. Something that's really funny in English will not be funny in another language. Or sometimes something that's really funny in the other language. I served for 2 years in Ukraine, and in Russian they have this thing, black humor is what it's called, and it's about death, or dark, maybe there's dark humor, I don't know how they would translate that, but it's very morbid. And I don't find, why is this funny? Like about a child finding a bomb or something, I'm like, this does not make me laugh at all. So things don't translate. Terms of endearment. I shared this one time in a Sunday evening sermon. But in America, we like to say things like sweetie, sugar plum. I'm just trying to think of some, you know. Pumpkin? Like for, you know, you realize in other languages, why are you calling your wife a big orange round squash? Like that doesn't make sense. But then in Ukrainian, they'll say this word that means little fish to their wife, and it's a term of endearment. So these things don't translate always, but high, the concept of high as like a high position, high honor is universal. Friends, I've asked friends from Chinese, who speak Chinese, friends who speak Japanese, Russian. Or just go down the list. Every language uses "hi" as a metaphorical way of saying honor, greatness. People who don't believe in God have to explain this. And the psychology idea is that maybe when we're kids, we look up to mom and dad who are so much taller than us. Well, here it has, "Your steadfast love is great above the heavens." That's how big His steadfast love is. And above the heavens means it's over all nations. He just said among all the nations, among all the peoples. And God's steadfast love is great above the heavens. So over all, your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So the basis upon which we give thanks and we're full of praise is the fact that God is who He is. It doesn't, yes, we thank Him for what He does, but it's about who He is. That God is who He is. We thank Him for His character, for His love and His faithfulness. Church, a pandemic does not change the character of God. The entire year last year, we kept saying over and over again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And 1,000 years from now, you can still say your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your steadfast love. Nobody shakes the steadfast love of God. So it's not that David, in his own strength, in who David is able to say, "Oh me, I have the virtue of being a steadfast person. My heart is steadfast." No, he's actually struggling. Saying, "God, you're not going with us when we go to battle. Okay, grant us help, but I'm depending on your promises and who you are. And my heart is steadfast in your steadfastness." Or you might think of the psalm that says, "We will not be shaken." And it's not about our strength. It's about God and His goodness. This week, we could say this year, but even this week, even this day, the Bible says no man knows what a day will bring forth. But we do know God's character this week. We know who He will be. And we will give thanks to Him, and we will praise Him because of that. Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for who You are. How good You are despite us. When we think about the worst things that we have done, Your grace just becomes all just even unexplainable to us. But we thank You for Your steadfast love that's despite that. If it's despite that, we know that it's despite any circumstance we find ourselves in. We ask You, Lord, to fill us with Your praise and with Your thanks in all circumstances. And this week, may it be for You, but may it be used in the hearts of people around us.